On this first day of unleavened bread, I know that I've mentioned this before, and I don't like to keep harping on it, but for me, this first day of unleavened bread is a day of mixed feelings. Okay, yes, it is, certainly is a joyful day in that it commemorates, first of all, the Old Testament Israelites' initial exit from Egypt and the newfound freedom from the clutches of the evil Pharaoh. And it's also a joyful day in that it commemorates the initial exit and freedom of spiritual Israelites from Satan and from his world. But the first day of unleavened bread is also a very solemn day in some respects, and it's solemn because of the deaths which were the necessary cost of bringing about both of these exits and both of these freedoms. First of all, the deaths of the thousands of Egyptian firstborn, thousands of them, I don't know, maybe millions, I don't know. And also, obviously, the death of the perfect, sinless, firstborn Son of God. Now, in the past, and maybe in some cases still, hopefully unintentionally, some of the churches of God, maybe many of the churches of God, have tended to skip over the agonies of the Passover day of 30 AD. And over the 72 hours that followed it, and maybe have pictured the first day of unleavened bread only as a day of joy. And maybe that's a throwback, maybe in a similar way as the world's professing Christian churches picture the joy of their Easter Sunday following the agony of their Good Friday. And of course, we should relegate those ideas, those Easter ideas, firmly to our past. Not least because on that first day of unleavened bread of the New Covenant era, Jesus had not yet been resurrected. Which means that our Lord and our Messiah was still lying in his tomb, dead. So with this fact in mind, I'm sure that you'd agree that the first day of unleavened bread is no less solemn than Passover night. Now in the sermonette last Sabbath, we concluded that our study of Jesus' preparations that led up to his final Passover as a human being. And then on Sunday night, during our Passover night service, as we do every year, we reviewed some of the events of Jesus' last Passover night. In the sermonette today, also keeping in mind the solemn aspect of this first day of unleavened bread, I'd like us to continue our preparation series, our Prepare Ye series, by reviewing the scriptures that are specifically referred to in all four gospel accounts as preparation days. And these scriptures include some of the important and solemn events that took place during and immediately after that Passover day in 30 AD. So in order to effectively study these scriptures today, we need to quickly review some of the previous events of that crucifixion and resurrection week. And we'll begin with Abib 13. Again, just quickly running through these. Abib 13 was the Monday evening and the Tuesday daytime. And on that Tuesday, which may be thought of as the proper preparation day for the proper Passover, on that Tuesday, Jesus and disciples, as we saw last week, and other obedient Jews as well, were preparing for the proper Passover. And we know also that There were other Jews who began killing their lambs for their incorrectly timed Passover, which they would be keeping at the end of the 14th and the beginning of the 15th. Okay, let's go over to Abib 14. This was the Tuesday evening that year, Tuesday evening and the Wednesday daytime. And this was the Tuesday night and the Wednesday daytime of the true Passover day. Jesus and the disciples correctly kept the Passover just after sunset that began that day. And after they kept the Passover during the night and during the morning parts of that Passover day, Jesus was arrested, he was tried, he was sentenced, he was tortured, and he was crucified. But also that day was the proper preparation day for the holy day of the first day of unleavened bread. And it was specifically identified as the preparation day by all four gospel writers. Let's begin with John. Brethren, please turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Beginning in verse 14, John 19:14, and it was the preparation of the Passover, and it was actually the preparation of the first day of unleavened bread, and about the sixth hour. And he, talking about Pilate, Pontius Pilate, said unto the Jews, "Behold your king." Now, don't have time to read all the way through this, but after a few brief trials, and those trials, according to some Bible, very respected Bible scholars, were totally illegal, those trials were illegal, and after being cruelly mocked and shamed and beaten and scourged, at about 9 o'clock in the morning on that Wednesday morning, Jesus was even more brutally nailed to something that was called in the Greek Stauros, S-T-A-U-R-O-S, Stauros. Now, whether that Stauros was actually a cross or whether it was a single pole stake, I'll leave that for others to argue over. But whichever it was, it wouldn't have made much difference to the result. Jump down to verse 30, please. Verse 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, or soured wine as it was, soured wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit, gave up his human spirit. So about 3 o'clock on the Wednesday afternoon of that Passover day, Abib 14, 30 AD, shortly after being viciously speared in his side, Jesus died. Verse 31, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation, that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day. Yes, it was. The Wednesday night and the Thursday daytime following the Passover day of Jesus' death was a high day. It was Abib 15, the holy day of the first day of unleavened bread. Still in verse 31, talking about the Jewish authorities besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Nice people, eh? Nice religious people. Awful thing for the other two men who were crucified on each side of Jesus. So awful for them. But Jesus was already dead. And his death had been hastened by that deadly spear thrust. Jump down to verse 38. And after this, in other words, after Jesus' death, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. I was reading up on that. Apparently, I wondered why they mentioned that, but it was apparently very expensive, that myrrh and aloes. And one Bible scholar reckoned that in today's money, the value of that would be about $150,000. For that much of those high quality spices, $150,000. Verse 40. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes or cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now, in the place where he was crucified, in other words, near Golgotha, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man laid. Over in Matthew's account, you don't have to turn there right now, over in Matthew's account, he tells us that this was Joseph's own new tomb, a tomb that Joseph of Arimathea had purchased and reserved for himself. Verse 42, there laid they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, there it is again, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. So Joseph and Nicodemus prepared Jesus' body with the spices and the linen cloths. And shortly before sunset, about around seven o'clock in the evening, but still on Abib 14, still within the daytime portion of that Passover day, they interred Jesus' body in Joseph of Arimathea's new tomb. Let's go over to Mark, please, and let's take a quick look at Mark's description of these same events. Mark chapter 15, please. Mark chapter 15, this is the same place, same time, the same preparation day, towards the end of Abib 14. Mark chapter 15, verse 42. And now, when the even was come, if you look that up in the Greek, it's actually, excuse my pronunciation, ke ede opsias geno menes. It means, well, I give three better versions here. The Message version of the Bible gives a better translation, late in the afternoon. And the Good News version of the Bible gives an even better translation, towards evening. And the Weymouth version gives what is, in my opinion, is the best translation, towards sunset. So towards sunset, in verse 42, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, and of course that Sabbath being the first day of unleavened bread, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Verse 46, and he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. Let's go over to Luke's gospel account, just to show you that they all mention this preparation. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And verse 53. And he, talking about Joseph of Arimathea again, and he took Jesus' body down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man was before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath, the first day of unleavened bread, drew on. Sabbath, the first day of unleavened bread, approached was imminent. And the women also which came with him, which came with Jesus from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. They wanted to see that because they were going to come back later refresh those spices and re-embalm his body. So ended that very historic Passover day, that very historic preparation day. Now please bookmark Luke 23 and just go over just for one verse, please, to Matthew 27. And this is over now into the next day, over into Abib 15. So this was the Abib 15 was the Wednesday evening through into the Thursday daytime. And this was the holy day of the first day of unleavened bread. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 62. Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate. Without going into the detail, they asked Pilate to provide extra security at Jesus' tomb, and Pilate refused them, said, go and look after it yourself. Okay, let's go back to Luke chapter 23. So not much detail on the first day of unleavened bread right there, but going over into the next day and going back to Luke chapter 23. So this is now Abib 16, which was the Thursday evening and the Friday daytime. Luke chapter 23 and verse 56. And they, talking about the women that were mentioned back in verse 55, so they returned and prepared spices and ointments. See, so this was another preparation day. It was the Thursday evening, and the Friday was a preparation for the weekly Sabbath. The weekly Sabbath. Okay, go over into Abib 17 now. Abib 17 was the Friday evening and the Saturday daytime. Again, the weekly Sabbath there. Still in Luke 23, still in verse 56. And rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. That is a tiny little half a verse there. This was the weekly Sabbath day. But it's amazing to me that this mere half a verse is the only clear, direct reference in all of the scriptures to this hugely significant day. This certainly one of the most important days in all of history. Although Jesus possibly woke from the dead at about 3 o'clock, on that weekly Sabbath afternoon, we know for sure that he left the tomb shortly before sunset, about 7 o'clock in the evening, after exactly 3 full days and nights, exactly 72 hours since his burial, exactly according to his earlier prophecy. I'll just quote it, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the huge fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So then we go over into Abib 18. Abib 18, we see another mention of preparation here. And this is in Luke chapter 24, in the next chapter, Luke chapter 24 and verse 1. So this is, Abib 18 was the Saturday evening, and the Sunday daytime was also what we refer to as wave sheaf offering day. Luke chapter 24 verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared. They prepared them on the Friday, and certain others with them. So, although Jesus had risen from the dead on the Sabbath afternoon and evening, and he left the tomb shortly before sunset at about 7 o'clock, he did not show himself to his human family or his human friends until the Sunday morning. And from then, at various times and in various locations throughout that day, he appeared to various family and friends. We know also that at some point during that, what we can call Wave Sheaf Offering Sunday, Jesus paid a brief visit to his beloved Father in heaven. And we're going to talk about that next Sabbath. We'll go through that, because the day after next Sabbath is the Wave Sheaf Offering Day. So we'll talk about that. So that's it for the sermon today. And I hope that this brief review of the various scriptural mentions of the preparation days, that it's been helpful for you and for me, certainly, for a better understanding of the time sequence of that holy week that was without doubt truly the most holy week in all of history.